the possibility of earning and the possibility of making a living through alternative careers in India. I think there is this big misconception, especially amongst Indian parents, that, you know, alternative careers such as stand-up comedy or such as filmmaking or screenwriting is all about luck or is all about struggle and it's all about making it or not making it. But I think the last 3-4 years have proven that you don't need to know people in the industry. You don't need to actually struggle. You don't need to go through all of that. If you're really talented, you could just be sitting in your house making videos, and the next thing you know, you're drawing in a crowd of 1,000 people and making money off it.
Yeah, the internet is the great democracy that we have been waiting for.
It is, and if you look at the examples around us, it's mind-boggling. I mean, if you look at your case as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you quit Accenture, and it's not like the Indian stand-up comedy scene had some gatekeepers, right?
Sure.
The industry was evolving the way it was, and you were just focusing on making jokes.
Yeah.
And slowly but steadily, you were making better jokes, and eventually, your videos were going viral, and you were pulling in the crowds, and companies were calling you to say jokes for them.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, yeah, it's not about necessarily blind luck or gatekeepers, but in India, where there is a very low demand, there's a very low supply of people in alternate careers, yet there's a very high demand for that same work, whether it's doing a comedy show, designing a restaurant menu, painting something for a museum, opening up a startup, whatever. I feel that since that wave is still a generation behind the wave that it was in the West, for example, a graphic designer here costs way more than a kid from Texas.
Wait a minute.
Kill this.
Birdie num num.
Hello.
Birdie num num. Birdie num num.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to another Birdie Num Num podcast. It's really good to be here today. I am in conversation with a buddy of mine, Varun. You guys already know him, so we're not going to bother with the intros, Varun.
What's up?
Oh, you had the what's up guys over here?
Yeah, of course we did.
Oh, yeah. I always give Varun shit because I'm like, oh, you guys had ice cream over here like 10 years ago? And he's like, you're going to hell.
Talk about stereotyping NRIs.
Talk about stereotyping. I get enough troll comments, bro, on
Sanjay.
Everything. I've been here 8 years. I'm more Indian than most Indian guys now.
And
you know?
Now he has a fake Indian accent.
No bullshit idea. I'll stick. It's funny. Everyone makes fun of me.
It's like America won't take him back and India doesn't know who he is.
America will take me back any
America
day.
America will take me back any day,
Varun. They have no choice. I was born there. So we're in conversation with Varun Agarwal. You guys know him. He's Mr. Startup Extraordinaire. He's dabbled in videos, directed movie stars. We've done videos together. Anuanti and a bunch of other stuff. He is a good author and all. Varun, we were just talking at the start of this episode, which I was recording. You didn't even know that. But we were talking about alternative careers. And I want to make that the focus for our discussion today. Why is it so hard for the average? It's hard enough in real life across the world to quit your job and want to do something on your own, whether it's entrepreneurship, creative, whatever. Why is it harder here? Almost impossible for some.
Well, I think the first step, I think before I answer your question, I think we got to take a step back. And I think the first step is to figure out what is it that you really want to do. The problem is, most people tend to define what they want to do based on other people's perception, right? So suddenly if startup is in vogue, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. I remember, photography was in vogue back in 2012. Everybody had a photography page. Right, and now everybody wants to be a stand-up comedian.
Everybody
wants to, create YouTube content.
Yeah.
So I think the key problem here is that people see other people doing stuff, and they're like, "Wow, that's an easy way to get success and fame and money." Mm-hmm. Right. I think you need to disassociate yourself from that first. You cannot get successful or make money or do any of those things by doing something that you don't truly like or love, and by doing something that you see other people doing. Sure, you can get inspired, and you can get inspired to do that, but just doing something for the heck of it because that'll get you a shortcut to success is definitely not the way to go.
Yeah, so people are maybe attracted to the end result more than they are the actual product and process.
Which is why you see that only out of 100, about 10 get successful. Because the 10 are honest with their craft, and the 10 are honest with what they want to do.
I think you asked 10 of the biggest comedians in the world, they never would have told you they wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was a byproduct of them just being committed to what they really wanted to do, which was in a bar of comedy for 10 people or for 1,000, whatever it may be. And you think the average... So you think, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, the impressionable Indian middle-class male or female is a little bit more
addicted to that level of success than their Western counterpart?
No, I totally agree. And like,
so yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
So for example, you know, when I wrote my book, I get a lot of emails from kids.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. asking me how to write a book and how do we get published and so on and so forth. And I'm like, I published my book in 2012 without even knowing how to write it. You know, I Googled how to write a book and it said, you know, just open Microsoft Word and start typing. That's all it said. So,
and at least you had Google at that point.
Yeah. I finished 50,000 words and I sent it to the first publisher that showed up on Google. Now, the thing is, I had a story to tell. I was really honest that I had a story to tell, and I was able to write that book very easily because I was being honest with what I wanted to say. If you ask me why haven't I written another book, well, I don't have a story to tell. And the day I will write another book. But you see, I did not write the book to become famous or, you know, to get like a Bollywood movie made out of it or, you know, to make money out of it. I wrote the book because I had a story to tell. Sure. And I enjoyed the process of writing it, and I enjoyed the process of creating those characters and enjoyed the process of writing that book. And when it came out, yes, it became a bestseller and it did really well. But that is not what the outcome that I was hoping. In fact, when all of that happened, I was quite surprised, honestly. Sure. And I realized that if you actually be very honest with your craft, it's very easy to be successful in India because the number of people pursuing alternative careers is very less.
Yeah.
The number of authors is very less. The number of people writing in English is very less.
Yeah.
So if you really write a story from your heart, there are high chances that you'll end up being successful.
Yeah.
So I would really recommend that if you really want to do what you like doing, please make sure that you're honest with your craft, and then you'll be surprised by, you know, the results that it can give you.
I think that's a very good point, because one thing I've noticed is once you are, you know, deciding to do something, you know, for example, making videos, the more you try to chase fame, the more elusive it is. And the second you kind of are just honest and having fun with what you're doing, people just respond to that a lot more, you know. Like, for example, I've shot a lot of videos with and without you, but some of the stuff I've very heavily produced and thought about and kind of chased the content, like, oh, Indians are going to love this, or the masses are going to love this, has not done so well.
Yeah.
Some of the fun shit I just do on my cell phone has done really well. And, you know, there's examples on either side of the coin, but I know in my heart of hearts, if I'm not truly passionate and into that content, it's probably going to show in the market. The market will respond accordingly.
But having said that, that does not mean you keep trying.
Of course, you keep trying.
You're not going to hit a six with your first content.
Yeah, yeah. No, so but trying to be honest about what you're doing.
Yeah. And you know what? You should be able to make 50 videos without worrying about them going viral.
Yeah.
And Sanjay is a prime example of this. When I met Sanjay for Anu Aunty for making the music video, he had at least about 25 videos under his belt.
About 15, 20.
15, 20. Yeah. And I guess one or two of them had gone viral, but the rest hadn't. But meeting him, he didn't give a damn, you know? He was like, I'm going to continue making videos. What's interesting is that when I'd met him, he had 15, 20 videos, and now he has about, what, 40, 45?
No, man, I have like 150. I just optimized my channel.
He has 150 videos, but trust me, to this day, he will not care whether that video is going to go viral or not. He expects it to go viral, but he makes the video because he just loves the process, and he loves the excitement and the rush of doing it. And unless you can get that sort of...
I mean, that doesn't mean you guys should not share these videos. I mean, please tag your friends and share these videos. But you are 100%. I know where you were going with that. So, yeah.
And the best thing about being in the creative field is that you can be... you can suddenly blow up, you know, just automatically by just putting up one great piece of content or, you know, putting up one great piece of work of art. So the beauty about being in the creative field is that you don't have to wait too long. You just have to work on your craft, and when you think you're ready, start sharing that with the world. And it just takes that one piece of art for you to blow up, and then you have so much work that you'll be able to say no.
So, yeah, you know, I think it was Steve Martin or somebody who said, if you're good at what you do, you'll never need to find work.
In something like this, I would say give 3 years to yourself without worrying about getting professional work.
Yeah.
Hone your craft, spend 3 years in the woods. Like, make sure that you're becoming the best version of what you can create. Don't worry about work. Don't worry about how things are going to happen. Now, I'm sure you guys must be asking, but how do I make money and how do I sustain myself and all of that? Well, if you have a job, keep that job running and do this on the side. Do whatever it takes to keep the passion alive. And then eventually, when you're ready to make this into a professional career, then go out into the world. But don't go out prematurely. You'll get disappointed. You'll think that you're not good enough, and then you'll give up.
Yeah, like my friend Rajiv Satyal, who was on another one of my podcasts years ago, he said, go slow to go fast.
Yeah.
Which is basically, you're not going to get famous overnight. Like, and there's so many lucky ways there's so many ways that people are lucky that they can do it this way. And what I mean by that is, for example, we all have that friend, some girl who like likes to give a lot of dating advice or sex advice or whatever, and she would love to be like the type of person on one of those Dear Auntie columns or like just like out there, but she's too scared to be a public figure, you know? Mm. Or a blogger who wants to talk about the startup scene but or the education system but doesn't want to rattle his community of friends that he knows or colleagues, right? You can easily, in today's world, open up a blog on Medium. You can blog anonymously. You can start to notice you're getting 10 hits, 50 hits, 100 hits. And before you know it, like, you can basically A-B test your content without exposing yourself. You know, 20 years ago, you had to work 5 years to get a book deal, write a book. You only had one shot, in the words of Eminem. And then that book bombs, and you feel like you wasted 7 years of your life. You can do this on a much bigger scale and a lot faster with almost every blog post these days.
I totally agree. And as long as you're honest, all of this is possible.
Yeah. So honesty is number one. You know, have true intentions. Don't say, I want to be famous, but I never want to work. What are other things a lot of these kids email you or a lot of things you just hear over and over again at every talk that you kind of want to shake someone and be like, you just gotta know this?
Obviously, one of the most common and the most asked is, how do I find my passion? Right? And how do I discover what
I
like?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think it's just not me. I think every single person on Instagram and Facebook that we know has been asked that question.
I mean, it's like, follow your passion, but oh, shit, I got to find it first.
Yeah, first of all, you know, I would recommend take this word passion out. I think it's been so overrated. I mean, I know I was a big proponent of that word back in the day, but I just think that word is so overrated now. Hmm. I think in order to find what you love, you need to live through life and live through experiences, right? And you need to be able to be by yourself. You need to be able to enjoy solitude. When you're able to be by with yourself and when you're able to read and just enjoy things by yourself rather than just going out and having a great time, then you'll be able to figure out what is it that you really want to do. Most kids out there, like, well, they want to just go out on the weekend and party and all of that is fine. But I would say take 1 year out for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, travel by yourself, or, you know, if you don't have the money to travel, then just make sure that you're probably just spending 1 year reading, writing, or watching movies or doing all of that. But give 1 year to yourself to live through life experiences.
And life is not going to the bar every Friday and doing nothing else all week.
And life is not about just writing exams and getting good grades.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you start living through life and you start living through experiences and you start doing a lot of things, right, then probably you'll get closer to figuring out what you want. For example, I used to love telling random stories, especially in school. And I realized that I was able to add a lot of masala to those stories and make them really interesting to the extent where you know, my friends would be like, no, we want to hear Varun's version of the story, right? And I realized that, well, I'm not a great writer, but I have this weird ability to tell a story in a very different way.
To dress up a story, basically.
Yes, to dress up a story. And that is how I was able to write a book. Now, you know, I'm now a professional public speaker, but there was a time when I couldn't speak in front of even 10 people. Yeah. But the way I was able to get over that fear is I realized I could tell a story on stage without getting any stage fright or fear because I was so consumed by the story.
Mm. It's kind of like a backdoor into beating stage fright.
Exactly.
You pretended you weren't speaking. You were just telling the story.
Exactly. And then I just got consumed by the story and I kept running the story kept the story running and I forgot that anybody was sitting in the audience. So, again, it's about coming down to that point. You know, in order to figure out what you love doing, you know, probably introspect. There may be a lot of things that you may have loved doing in school or college because those are formative years and that's when we find what we truly love doing. And try to pick something from there. For me, storytelling has always been like a very strong passion and I realized that I developed that passion when I was in school. So randomly that I used to love telling random stories about incidents to kids. So that is mine. Obviously, it's very subjective. It's different for different people.
So do you think the last generation, and by that I mean, you know, people probably today's age, maybe 16 to 30, let's say, at least in the group that we're talking about, you think their parents have not yet let them live their life or their lives have just been go to school, come home, fiff-faff on Facebook, their phone, whatever, and then just study. And then they wake up at 22 and, like, it's an illusion and they want to do something else. Or, like, for example, Chinese parents throw their kids into violin and into, like, piano at an early age and karate and kung fu. And American parents, like, Timmy, you can do whatever you want, you know, but, like, go play football or something. So do we not let our youngsters and probably even former versions of ourselves live our life to experience these things?
Well, I think it's very difficult to live it in school because our education system is so rigid, especially the Indian education system, that it's not possible to do that. And doing these skills kind of helps. Like if you're playing the piano, learning the piano or the violin, it helps with your concentration, right?
Yeah.
And if you're playing football or something, it helps with your health, you know, because yeah. So, yeah, I'm not against all of this. But I think the true time to really, really take time off is during college.
During college. Yeah.
Now, whether you're in engineering or...
But you're also in the rat race, dude.
Well, you know, that depends. See, whether you're in the best college in India... You'll still have a lot of time. I know kids who are in IIT and who have shit loads of time.
And they still watch Game of Thrones for 6 hours or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
So college is probably the most important period of your life, right? And college is probably also the most important period of your life because you get a lot of time. If you're lucky and you're not dating in college, because the only thing that can consume in college
is relationships.
Relationships.
Yeah, yeah. And how. Yeah.
Yeah, relationships are studying. So if you're lucky and you're not in a relationship during college, there is a high chance that you can use that productive time to something else.
It's almost like imagine like a really smart engineer and it's like, she ruined my life, not because the relationship was bad, it's just that when they broke up, his grade suffered. And vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah, and probably don't try to get into a serious relationship by till the time you're 23, 24, because whether you like it or not, relationships consume a lot of mind space. If you really want to give this an honest shot, I would say be single, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, make sure that you don't waste your time just studying through college. Use your time to do other things. Number three, travel. Number four, meet enough people. Oh, that's very important. Meet enough people that you think... For example, if you want to be a stand-up comedian, I want you to send a message to Sanjay right now. Saying,
no, actually, I do disagree there because I have one issue, and I was talking to this with Zakir, who's now a friggin' superstar, and I basically said on Facebook, hey, kids, before you message me how to do stand-up comedy or I want to be a stand-up comedian, can you help me? Get your ass to 5 open mics. Like, I just said that immediately.
No. So
I don't email Bill
I don't
Gates
think. I don't think, next, I don't think I'm coming to that.
Yeah.
I'm saying at least it's the first step that you're messaging your favorite stand-up comedian.
Of course. Start moving on action. Yeah, yeah.
Don't expect a reply. But then go online, study yourself, try to figure it out how you want to do it and all of that. But get excited about it. Get obsessed about it.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask for a mentor. You'll probably get rejected, as we all have, but don't be afraid. I mean, dude, if you're not going to help yourself, I mean, nobody else is.
Yeah, so I think step one, obviously, is to figure out exactly what you want to do by having a lot of life experiences and doing different things. Mm-hmm. Number two is when you get close to finding what that is, just become mad obsessed about it. Like, just have that as your crazy obsession. It's like when you have a crush on a girl, right? You're just obsessed about it. You're not thinking about anything else except that girl. That's it. And when you get obsessed, you don't need to write a message to Sanjay to ask him how to do stand-up comedy. In fact, you will learn it yourself and message Sanjay, hey, Sanjay, do you have any slots for your open mics? Because I want to come and perform. And you know what? No amount of failure when you get obsessed will push you back.
Of course not.
When you get obsessed... In fact, you will start enjoying the failures because you'll be trying to figure out, okay, how do I do this better? How do I do that better? And then you use Sanjay not to ask him how to get into stand-up comedy. You say, hey, listen, this joke of mine bombed.
What do you think?
What do you think? Because then he'll be more interested in replying.
It's almost interesting. Like, I mean, I know it's so cliche, but people are always like, how do I find my passion or whatever? I'm like, dude, you'll know. Like, it's not like a light bulb moment, and it's not like some like Zen mystical moment. But like you just said, if you just jump into something, whether it be photography or fitness or, you know, comedy or filmmaking, and all of a sudden you've watched 900 YouTube videos, 14 documentaries, looked at who the best people are, showed, like, for example, in my case, that Russell Peters clip came out in 2004 of him doing comedy, and my friends and I watched it in the college hostel, and then they all went to the canteen to go eat. I watched it like 45 more times, and I was like, I think I have a problem.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to do this. Like, I get it now.
Yeah.
And, man.
I think another thing that you need to work during this phase is work on your ego. Your ego will prevent you from doing a lot of things that you may actually like doing. For example, let's say you want to be a hairstylist.
Mm-hmm.
Just generally, your ego will be like, what? I can't be a hairstylist all my life. But maybe you have really, really good skills for it. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, a typical hairstylist earns about 1 to 2 lakhs a month.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a lifelong job. And it only keeps increasing.
And you'll open a salon and you'll make more money than any of your Infosys friends or whatever.
So take out the ego from the equation. And take out the fact that, oh my God, I don't think this is cool. Well, if you're really good at it, you better do it. Right? Because everybody's blessed with one unique different talent.
Yeah.
Just because you think stand-up comedy is cool, you can't be a stand-up comedian just because that's the most happening thing. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're best with something else, and that is so unique. But your ego may not allow you to do it.
Sure.
So take the ego out of the equation completely.
I mean, look at the guys who own Bangalore's highest grossing bar to this day, which is Toit. They are all ex-KPMG, yeah. Wipro, Accenture, probably like a lot of listeners who, and I'm sure our listeners will be like, oh, they had the right mover advantage or whatever. Dude, what do three guys out of an IT office know about starting a bar?
Yeah.
But they gave it a shot, hired one guy, figured it out, and, I mean, I'm sure none the wiser. So, yeah, man. Okay, just to wrap up, because Varun and I, although we're telling you not to go out and drink every night, are going to do just that tonight.
It's a Saturday night, bro.
It's a Saturday night, you know. My fiance is out of town, so just joking if she's listening. No, she's coming. Anyways, point being, I'm in trouble. I should edit that, but I won't. Point being, five things you want kids under 30, I say kids, in 2019 to start doing.
Number one, travel. Very important to travel. Number two, destroy your ego completely. Number three, have as many life experiences as you can.
Meaning?
Well, meeting new people.
Go to the gym. Having take a class.
Yeah, anything.
Learn
anything.
Photography, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Have as many life experiences.
Volunteer at the school, whatever.
Yeah. Number four, try to spend time with yourself.
Yeah.
Like being with yourself. Enjoy solitude. Trust me, that's the only way you're going to get to the bottom of a lot of things.
I know you have number five to go, but I heard this great quote from some like drummer or something, and he was like, learn to let yourself get out of the way of yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and that's totally true.
Yeah. And number five, sorry.
Be obsessed about something. In order to do something crazy.
Something, not someone.
Yeah. Not, in order to do something crazy, you got to be obsessed. And I mean mad obsession. And when you get to that level of mad obsession, well, if you get to that mad obsession, then this is what I have to say. This is what will happen. The best way to figure out what you love doing is there something that you really love and you like it so much that you get obsessed about it that you can't wait for somebody else to teach you and you end up becoming so good at it that you can now teach somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's a good theme to end our little chit-chat, which is, guys, everyone tells you plan to fail. I've told you that. Everyone told you find your passion, follow your passion. But I think the latest is get obsessed, man.
Get obsessed.
Find something to get obsessed about.
And get
about.
Obsessed. Not someone, but
and
something.
Yeah, and not alcohol or drugs. But like something that, you know, is worthwhile pursuing. So thanks, guys. Thanks, Varun.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
Birdie num num. Birdie num num. Birdie num num. Birdie num num.
That's right.